to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
What's up? Can you see me, Will?
Yep, I got you, dude.
I can't hear you now.
I got you. Give me a minute.
Doom, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, we got you, man. I just had to play the little promo. I don't know why you guys can't hear my promo when I get started, the opening theme to the show. But hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Sports Report Podcast. I am your host, Mr. William D. Morgan. I have Doom. I have Gene. Gene, we got to get into this with you and your damn Ohio State Buckeyes. But this is episode 72 of the Sports Report Podcast. Thank you for having me in your living room this evening. Gentlemen, how's your week been? Doom, we'll start with you.
I'm doing all right.
How's your week been, Gene?
Weekend was good. You know, off for a couple of days. Watching a lot of sports. There was a lot to talk about tonight.
Oh, yeah. The first thing I want to go to, we normally don't talk pro wrestling on this show, but I do want to talk about Roman Reigns for a quick second. His battle.
Hey, I don't want to be the heel, but I call Tony C up to make sure he won't do on backflips. But, you know, hey, I could be a bastard, but I'll be nice tonight.
Roman Reigns reveals he had an 11-year battle with leukemia. He had to relinquish the Universal title because of it. So I just wanted to really go out and let people know what happened. Shout out to Roman Reigns. We hope to have you back soon. I know a lot of us don't agree with him being champion or whatnot, but this is beyond that point. This is a man's health. This is a man's well-being. So we hope you come back soon and compete for that Universal title once again. So I just want to get that out there because it kind of weighed heavily on me. When Gene first posted it, you know, I said, good, because no more being champion anyway. But right after that happened, then I found out he was battling leukemia.
I just wish they could have used it in a better storyline. That's my whole thing, that you had a heel come out, so whenever he do come back, they could play that, you know what I'm saying, that's kind of to make him, get him over as a baby face.
What was the storyline they used on the show?
Man, he just walked down left. I'm used to the old days, you had like a heel come out, And just get heat off it, you know what I'm saying? Like he said, he talked trash about him, he get out of here, blah, 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 blah. And then that dude has that heat. So, you know, I was thinking Braun Strowman come out and destroy him. And then Braun becomes a super heel, and then he go on a run for the next 6-7 months until whenever Roman come back. And then when he come back, he get that that John Cena or that Triple H reception, you know what I'm saying, when they were hurt and they came back after an extended amount of time. It just, the story would have written itself, you know what I'm saying?
I don't think this is a work, though. I think this is real life.
Oh, no. I know it's real life. What I'm saying is you work real life into an angle.
I got you.
Right.
You could get behind it. And then they could build the storyline up that, this dude, he's battling leukemia. He comes back. Now he's battling this big dude. So he does this for cancer. You know, it just wouldn't have written itself. But this ain't the old WWF back in the day probably would have did that.
All right. Just wanted to give him that kind of wave heaven on me a little bit. So I just want to get that out there real quick. That's our 5-minute wrestling segment. We're going to move on to current sports now. Move on to current sports right now. A couple other things coming down the turnpike. We have the Falcons defeating the New York Giants in Monday Night Football 23-20. I'm so happy the Giants lost because I hate the Giants.
the New York Giants fans.
I've never been a fan.
They're worse than Cowboy fans.
I don't know about all that. I don't know about all that, man.
I don't know, man, because them Dallas Cowboy fans are something else.
Yeah, man.
I'm an NFC East boy, you know, Redskins fans. You got Giants fans. They just walk around and just think Odell Beckham Jr. is their damn savior.
Well, one thing about it, he's about the only thing they got besides Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
Nah, I would take Barkley over Odell. They need to get a running game.
Yeah, they need to do more with him. But they don't have no backup for real.
Nope. Agreed there. Well, I gotta go before I do the scores. Captain Underpants, you need to stop. You need to stop, Captain Underpants, in this damn chat. You need to stop messing with Rage, sir. What has Rage done to you, sir? But before I move on to the scores, I gotta get with you for a second, Mr. Gene. What the hell? Purdue waxes Ohio State 49-20. What happened?
That was the one of the, but you know, I looking at the game, it was surreal because coming off of 7-8 straight wins, you would never thought that they would come in and play Purdue at Purdue
right. Like
that. But in that conference, the later it goes in the schedule, it seemed like the better teams get, and Ohio State always has issues down the stretch of that schedule once it's in the conference.
Right.
But Purdue probably did a pretty good job of looking at tape on them, but they just looked so disconnected. I mean, the defense, the secondary just – here's the thing about with Schiano. I like Schiano a lot. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of baggage. He likes his man press crap. And I just ain't a big fan of being in a man press all night. You know what I mean? Because you're going to wear guys down.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And those guys were just getting wore down. He stayed in that. And then you got a rookie quarterback, pretty much a rookie quarterback, that they put a lot of pressure on. And they made him throw some throws that he don't normally throw. And they did the same thing. You know, they pressed us. We pressed them, and then they pressed us. So they was making him pass in the tight coverages. But overall, the coaching, I just felt like Meyer the whole time on the sideline felt like he wanted to puke. I'm like, are you going to coach or are you going to puke?
Right.
You know. So, that one going to sting for a long time and knocked us out of the top ten.
In the AP poll, I think the coaches poll, you're still number 9.
Yeah, coaches poll number 9, AP poll number 11.
Mm-hmm.
But – you know, everybody go by their AP poll. You know what I mean? Once it's all said and done. So, you know, they got to regroup, and I think they'll beat Michigan. I think they'll do some good things coming down the stretch. But, you know, this whole thing circulating about Urban Meyer leaving, and I think it's coming to light. And I think Ryan Day will be right there ready when he gets ready to go. But that was pretty bad. That's a tough loss, man.
Do you think Bosa not being there made a difference?
Who not being in there?
Bosa.
Anytime you lose, Bosa to me was not as good as his brother.
Okay.
I thought he caused some. You know, he made some things happen, primarily on that edge as an edge rusher. But this game wasn't lost at that defensive line.
Right.
You know, this game was lost in the secondary.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and we couldn't stop the run. You know what I mean? So. It had nothing to do with just him. I thought that the backup was pretty good, and we made that guy change direction and run in the middle of the defense, but our linebacker core was just bad, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of things, you know, in that game, and, you know, and it raised some eyebrows about Urban Meyer, you know what I'm saying?
Well, he's out of there at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Me, too.
Mm-hmm.
Me, too.
Mm-hmm.
Me, too. Let's switch gears for a second. Something else that happened over the weekend. We had the second brawl in the NBA.
Hey, I watched a video on that.
Did you?
the referees let that game get out of control.
I think they did too.
I think they backed off when they seen that when it when
no, no, I'm talking about the whole game. They was letting they didn't let people know what was a foul, mm-hmm. not a foul.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like mm-hmm. James Harden was getting away with murder.
He always gets away with murder though.
Was getting angry.
But I'm gonna tell you. But I'm gonna tell you guys, Brandon Ingram was the reason all this got started. He hit James Harden. He pushed James Harden in the back. And then from that point, things just de-escalated from there.
No.
It
led up, the whole game led up to it. James Harden and Chris Paul are dirty players. James Harden was doing a lot of hooking and pushing.
And that's
what got Ingram.
Exactly. Frustrated. Yep, because when Harden comes down, the dribble is called a crab dribble. Mm. And he'll hook a guy when he's getting ready to go around him. And but he's so good at that, he shields it from the referee.
Right.
Yeah.
And them guys don't see it, but he is right. Doom is right. He was getting away with a lot of hooking.
Well.
And that's what Ingram got angry because he'll hook and push him, and then they'll call it on the defender for spacing, but James Harden's the one who did it. Now Chris Paul and Rondo. We're getting into it the whole game, too, because Chris Paul's a very dirty basketball player. So it wasn't because Ingram was frustrated, but if you look at it as a whole, this dude, I'll post a link on it, was on World Star. The guy broke down throughout the whole game, all these instances, it was going to come to a head. The referees didn't let that game, because Ingram was getting pushed in the back. That one play, Chris Paul tried to grab Lance Stevenson's ankle on a fast break when he fell. Like, it's little things when you sit down and look that the Rockets was doing that was getting that game to go.
I saw that. In case you didn't know about the suspensions being thrown down, Brandon Ingram got 4 games. Rajon Rondo got 3. Chris Paul got 2. The thing that pissed me off, the thing that pissed me off the most about this whole thing, LeBron went to Chris Paul and restrained him instead of going to your teammate and Rajon Rondo and having his back.
LeBron doesn't want to be – only reason he's in for L.A. is because of his other business. LeBron got maybe another 3 years in the league.
Possibly, yeah.
He's slowed down. He's not as dominant. He's not as big. Like I said, I think he's on something. Well, my whole thing was
that he's
the closest thing to a steroid. Believe that. That's legal. You know what I mean? But he definitely, that was a bad look. And you know, y'all know I'm a big time LeBron guy.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bad look. When you in the
look the same. He don't look dominant no more.
Yeah, he don't look the same. And I think what's happening with him being over in the West, because the game is so fast, he's trying to figure it out. Like, it has to slow down to him a little bit. But also, I think, too, is he's trying not to be doing too much. He's trying to let those guys like Rondo do what he does. He's trying to let Kuzma do what he does. He's trying to let Ingram get his play in. He's trying to let those guys, because I feel takeover coming. I see takeover in him at any point in time, but he kind of being real relaxed right now. But this whole incident with, like, Chris Paul, that's your boy, and you're supposed to care about your friends, ain't no doubt about it, because you got a relationship off the court.
Yeah.
You're in between those lines.
Man.
When you're in between those lines and that breaks out like I did, if
don't care about the team.
Yeah, he don't. It showed a disconnect with the team, and I guarantee you they're going to address that. Magic Johnson is going to address that, because he come from an era where – listen,
it don't matter.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going at your neck. And at the end of the day, LeBron's got to go back into the locker room with Rondo.
Right.
Chris Paul don't.
Yep.
So, and Rondo's already a head case. So, you know how he's going to feel. And he takes me as the guy getting in the locker room, and they might be 4 or 5 stalls down, and he'll call LeBron a bitch. I mean, let's just keep it real.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Yeah, he'll call a bitch in the locker room and dare him to do something. You know, that's just Rondo.
Yep.
So you don't want to. You're only three games into your season, and you already got some disconnect and some divide in your locker room.
Yep, yep. Now you said earlier about LeBron. How if you go back and look at his history, and I know you know it, probably more so than me, Gene. Mm-hmm. Everywhere LeBron's been, he's always been a slow starter. He was a slow starter when he went to the Heat. Then when he came back, came back to the Cavs. Yep. So he's a slow starter as he tries to figure things
but
out.
But there's times in the game, I mean, goddamn, he can't dunk on fucking PJ Tucker.
Gordon. But doing, I think I feel what you're saying. But he can, we know he can. I think what he does is when he comes into a new situation, or he comes, like he went back to the Cavs. He start, like Will said, he started slow. What happens is he comes in. He's one of those guys that has to see it. He's watching it. He's seeing it, and then all of a sudden, you're gonna see him just get comfortable and take over. That's what he's doing. But he's trying to figure his guys out. He's trying to figure them out, and that's why.
But it was at times that they needed a spark to get it going. I mean, those guys are playing, but they could have won that game. That's my whole thing.
Well, LeBron is never worried about game 1 through 20. 1 through 20 for him is getting in shape.
Right.
After game 20, then he going.
Hey, but that's the East.
This is
the West.
The only 1 issue,
through 20, you might not even make the damn playoffs.
The other issue I take with LeBron is this lack of defense. If you look at him in that Rockets game, that's the...
And I'll admit, in that game, Will, he did some of the same stuff. If you look at, if we go back in YouTube, the finals, and where he showed a lack of defense, and he would be standing there, and he wouldn't rotate out or step over, he did the same thing in that game. The same thing. He would not go defend. The one guy, I forget who was on the long corner, took that shot. Bronny had his back turned to him, and he seen the ball go. He turned around and just looked at the hoop. He didn't even go out there and try to close out or nothing. So that's another issue that those guys down there in L.A., they're going to address this stuff. Mm-hmm. LeBron is not bigger than L.A.
Right, right. Yeah. Exactly. Let's get into some of this stuff from Sunday in the NFL. Tony sees Cowboys lost to Doom's Redskins 20-17, but they lost because, and I firmly believe this, they lost because there was an illegal procedure penalty on a snap of a field goal.
Hold up. Just like my man Stephen A. Smith be saying. The Dallas is a damn accident waiting to happen.
But this is true. This is true.
I don't know. They got Amari Cooper.
Hey,
yes.
That's all right. We ain't play our best game, but they see you talking about Amari Cooper. But Dallas ain't nothing if Ezekiel Elliott can't play.
Zeke is having problems. You know what their problems is, man? Is that center that's been out. And then they got that rookie. I think it's a rookie guard that got in there.
Yeah.
If you look at his yards from the line of scrimmage compared to the last 2 years, totally different. He's not even getting those yards. Period. But that's not their issue. Their issue is Dak and his accuracy.
Yep.
This guy can't hit the broad side of a barn right now. I'm hoping with Amari. Some things will change for them, you know, because I like Dak. I don't like Dallas, but I like Dak and I like Zeke.
Right.
And the way they hammering Dak, oh my God, they doing him just as bad as they did Romo. You know, they don't play. You know, Dallas. They don't play around. You start, declining, and you know you're gonna hear about it. You know.
And teams are doing what I thought they would against them. Playing those big 7-8 man fronts, 7-8 in the box.
Daring them to throw.
Exactly.
Rapper Cole Beasley.
Exactly.
Don't even call him a rapper. That man is not a rapper. That man can't rap worth a damn.
He can rap better than
Daniel. You wouldn't buy a CD?
Say what?
he can rap better than Daniel some of these other rappers out there.
You went by a CD, Will?
The hell no, I went by that CD.
When that CD come out.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to go from one mess in the Dallas Cowboys to another mess. Let's head over to Jacksonville for a second. Jacksonville is terrible. Tony C got on me last week about calling Blake Bortles trash. But let me call it the way it is. Blake Bortles is trash.
Oh, no, you shouldn't have called it what it is, a duck. If it looked like a duck.
If it looked like a duck, if it quacked like a duck, it ain't a damn mongoose, as Stephen A. would say. But he's terrible, man. The dude is terrible.
Who is that?
Blake Bortles for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's terrible.
Well, you know what? And we just made that trade in fantasy.
We did.
And you know I gave you him, and then you gave me Devontae, and then Devontae go on IR.
And he go on IR.
We balanced out.
Yeah, we balanced it out, man. We balanced it out.
but Blake had a real good first couple games, I thought. You think?
He played okay against the Patriots.
Right.
But other than that, nah.
He was horrible.
And I understand right now from what their head coach came out and said, he's starting this week, but he's on a short leash. Kessler should be getting some reps in practice. So
right.
And if Bortles goes down, Cody Kessler should be in there. But those boys, man, even that defense, I got multiple fantasy leagues this year, and I got the Jacksonville defense in some of them. Oh my God, 2 points, 3 points, 6 points over the week. What? We were praising this defense last year, and now because the offense can't score, they're trash.
Because who can't score?
Who can't score? Jacksonville can't score.
And I got their defense. I thought we did. What did we do this week? What did we do this week? Four?
I think you got I think you do have their defense. Kind of think about it.
Mm-hmm. In our league.
Yeah, I think you do.
Our league, man. I actually did good this week, but hey, Kareem Hunt went off.
Hey, he did.
I picked up a rare win too, so I will take it. I will extremely take it. Now, I want to.
You beat up on your son. That's what you did.
Father beat son.
You beat up on your son pretty good, too.
Yeah, I did. Father beat son. I'll leave the smack it down.
You're right.
But I want to get to Doom for a second because, Doom, I know you took issue in that Panther Eagles game on Sunday.
Yeah. I just had to wait. Like, I listened to other stuff. I just think I forgot his name. I got a brain for it.
Ed Reed.
Ed Reed was wrong. Mm. And the stuff I listened to Stephen A. Smith and what Ed Reed said, him and Kaepernick and not about what the issue is.
Isn't that Eric Reed we're talking about? Eric Reed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eric Reed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's making it about them two and not the other issue. Because when Stephen A. Smith was talking about how the Players Coalition wanted them to be in the meetings with the owners, they declined. So don't get mad at them if y'all didn't want, Kaepernick didn't want to get involved with the owners and stuff about trying to settle this issue. It goes back to my whole point about the dudes letting everybody else fight his battles. So now y'all want to cause a ruckus when you kind of left the players high and dry. Now your homeboy wants to fight somebody before a football game. It just throws salt on what progress was made because now the players are infighting. And you know what I'm saying?
But don't you think that whole Ed Reed movement by him getting signed was to further to help the NFL and the whole collusion lawsuit.
Not collusion. It's proven the point. This dude is not going to be in the NFL roster at the end of this year. I could book it. I could put a $20 bottle of Hennessy on it. No, you know what? $50 bottle.
Right.
Because what he did, Ron, like I was listening to Steve's first tape, Ron Rivera didn't know that he was going to do that. He just made the situation ugly. They won't even talk. And then the way he was playing, trying to hurt people, is another thing. He just flew off the handle. And this wasn't even, this could have been handled with a phone call. They talked to it like as men.
Right.
He handled it totally wrong. Why would you want somebody on your team that acts like that on the situation? Because it could have been handled in a different way.
Right. But what I'm saying is as far as the NFL's collusion lawsuit, it doesn't seem like collusion if we get another guy who did the same thing as Kaepernick back in the league, and then we keep Kaepernick out. You know what I mean? So,
well, true. But again, Ed Reed is going to mess up that collusion case by the way his actions is.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to be justified at the end of the season if nobody signed him, what he's done.
Uh-huh.
He's bucking whatever the Panther. It's like he doesn't have no discipline.
Right.
That's my whole thing. You know, I don't care what he thinks of on the stance and everything. Uh-huh. He's trying to make it about him.
Uh-huh.
Not the underlying issue.
Right.
You're taking away from what everybody else is in there. And I know, you know, Will, you know, I know you was talking about, like, what a price of buying off. But Jenkins and the Players Coalition, yeah, they got money and stuff for it.
Uh-huh.
But they're not stopping the fight. They're still working on the issue. They're not just doing it in the public forum. They're doing it on the off time and everything. So it's not like they're fighting for the same cause. But uh-huh. It's almost like, oh, you took my shine. We need to put the shine on us because we're the ones who started it instead of joining people and fighting the fight. But that's my take. I mean, it was different things I heard, like, you know, that, hey, they invited them guys in there, but they turned the players down. That's kind of like spit in the face of the players.
A definite smack in the face.
My only thing from the whole deal, you know, you can't put a price on everything. And what? The cost
did
of
it.
And I'm just saying yeah. for the most part, you can't put a price on everything. And
right.
I just think that in this particular case, I don't know if Malcolm Jenkins even spoke to the players union before he took that deal. Was it something did on himself?
It was a meeting. They did it at the player coalition. All the players agreed on that.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm saying. It was a meeting with the players with that. And they said that this issue is bigger than Kaepernick. I was listening to Stephen A. Smith. They said this issue is bigger than Kaepernick. It's an issue that's affecting our team and us as players. He's not the leader of it. It was a whole bunch of other players. I believe Drew Brees was there. All these other NFL players was at this meeting. It's just Jenkins has been vocal about his stuff, but they're trying to make him seem like he's the figurehead. He's not. Man. It's other players that was in that meeting.
That are the figureheads?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other people, because I'm on Breeze, Josh Norman is there. It was a lot of NFL players, like the higher echelon, that got this meeting, and that's when they changed stuff, because you notice there's no pink jerseys this season.
That is true.
Right.
That is true. Yeah. I just think that there's no price you can put on a movement, to me. I know they gave that amount of money to help things move along, which we still don't know what that money was given for. But
it's for social justice. So
when you say social justice, what
that's the whole
what does that comprehend? What does that do?
What does it pinpoint?
Right, what does it pinpoint?
But again, this whole thing about police brutality, like I said, it was an open ended question. Like I said, it was awareness. But again, they're doing stuff in the communities to help out with police outreach and everything. So it's just not a, it's not a simple question. But again, the spotlight is off of Kaepernick and Ed Reed.
Right.
And but then,
it is.
And I think he just can't handle having not the spotlight.
I just
until the day comes when they have to be in court about this whole, you know, about this whole collusion situation. And I mean, you know, those guys got to understand that
it's a business at the end of the day.
Yeah, because it's a business, and they pulled them away from the underlying issues. You know what I'm saying? What we're talking about right now, what they're talking about, don't even have nothing to do with what this initial movement was about. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So at the end of the day, I think this is the league's ploy and the push to – that's what this whole movement was, getting him – getting one of them in the league was to take our minds and our eyes off of what the big picture is. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's a Band-Aid. But again, on the flip side, the NFL's bleeding.
Oh,
Because like you look in the stands, it's a lot of empty seats.
Yep.
It's a lot of disgruntled fans.
Yep.
And the players not understand. Like I said, my whole thing, I'm looking at is bottom dollar. Yeah, they did something to help out and stuff, but at the end of the day, you know, some of these big contracts might not be happening because they've lost a lot of revenue. So on the flip side, it's going to hurt the players.
So basically, too, so on the flip side of letting Reed back in the league, they had to do something to appease some the fans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the fans, I don't think the fans would care, but Reed start doing stuff on his own.
Okay.
And like I said, like this incident, you don't think Carolina fans are like, why is this dude on our team? Because he got an interception, but they had to send him down because he was flying off the handle. He's going to hurt somebody if he gets emotional like that. He tried to hurt Malcolm Jenkins during the game.
The thing that you have to realize, and the most important thing, Eric Reed is a good football player. And that's why he got signed.
My whole issue is his actions on Sunday.
Well, I got something for that, Will. Not to cut you off, Doom. So you saying, you know, Reed gets signed because he's a good football player, and then in the flip side, Kaepernick ain't signed because he's a bad football player?
That's a good point. That's a good point that you bring up. However, I will say this. Can you see that even if you went to Jacksonville, Buffalo, Arizona, quarterback needy teams, do you want that distraction of Colin Kaepernick on your team? Do you want that distraction on your team?
No. Right. You can't. The thing is, let's take it to Marshawn Lynch, because Marshawn Lynch is still sitting down.
He is,
Marshawn Lynch ain't even.
But he's also not a quarterback. He's not the fixer. He's not okay. The
okay,
franchise.
I understand that positional pull.
Right. Right.
That positional pull. Okay, I'll take that. And I just don't. Listen, Kaepernick left the 49ers before his contract was up. I think he opted out. So, to me, you know, I don't think they fought hard enough to keep him.
Yeah.
I think he was fighting for more money. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you opt out, you know what I mean? And they felt like he probably wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
Then that's when this whole thing comes in. It's like, okay, was this the distraction of – I'm not good enough to be back on that team at least,
right?
You know, and am I good enough to be on another team? I don't hail him as a great starter. I think he's a decent football player. I never took him as a traditional quarterback to begin with. I thought he just had an athletic dynamic that Alex Smith didn't have at the time.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so I, whether he's good or not, he still should get an opportunity to play in the league. I think he's still good enough to play in the league. I'm sure he's a good enough backup, but I don't know if I really don't know if this guy will ever suit up in an NFL uniform again. I just don't see it.
I don't either. But let's talk about the game itself. Panthers end up winning that game 21-17.
Uh-huh.
Eagles end up giving 21 straight points in the fourth quarter.
Uh-huh.
These Philadelphia Eagles, I don't think, are the same team. They can't run the football, and they've that second fed. And that secondary is pathetic. What's that?
They've been fed. What I'm saying is, it's hard for a team to repeat going to a Super Bowl.
Right. I think
they've tasted the thing, so the hunger and the thirst has been subsided.
I think another thing too that's kind of interesting in that, like, Garrett Blunt's gone. Detroit overpaid for $4 million, overpaid for a change of pace back, and then you had Jay Ajayi going down. And you look at the running backs from the Eagles, all of them, are small. I'm bigger than most of those running backs back there. They didn't get rid of the football. Oh my goodness! They can't get through. They can't break through arm tackles or anything like that. And then the secondary haven't been playing up to snuff. But just yesterday, going into the fourth quarter, those boys were dancing around like they got the football game. Man, look. Look, for all the flack Cam Newton gets, you cannot let that man get back in the football game. You can't do it. And then that last touchdown to Craig Olsen, I'm still trying to figure out how he got that wide open.
Well, you know, like how my Redskins put it on them Panthers, they can be beat. I think Philly just, they don't know, you know.
I wish I had that sound bite. I wish I had that.
You remember they're that? Not the same team.
I wish I had
they're
that.
Not.
They're not. I wish I had
that. They're not the same team.
I wish I had that soundbite. I think it was from doggone it. I forgot what coach it was. Recently passed away. Used to be head coach of Minnesota Vikings. In the Arizona. Denny Green. I wish I had that soundbite from Denny Green. They got who they thought they were, and we let them off the hook. And that's exactly what Philly did. Let those boys off the hook yesterday.
Late, great Dennis Green.
Late, great Dennis Green. They had the game, man. They had the game. All right, let's go back to Gene one more time. Buccaneers beat the Browns 26-23. It was a close game. Gene, I got two questions for you.
Okay.
Were you impressed with Baker Mayfield's performance? And B, should Hugh Jackson take over play calling duties from Todd Haley?
Baker Mayfield didn't show me anything different from the last game and the game before that. I think he lost some receivers. Antonio Callaway was one of his main, you know, kind of was his, one of his targets, but they kind of took some of his touches out of the playbook, you see. But the thing that I didn't like is Baker Mayfield, they hollered about the helmet to helmet. They holler about the penalties, but they never holler about he took 5 sacks. He didn't throw the ball away. Yeah. He fumbled the ball. You know, they got this guy on such a pedestal to it, whereas it's sickening, and he's not even nowhere near the hype. So to me, you know, Like I refer to him, and I'm gonna continue to refer to him like this.
Uh-oh.
He is Brian Sipe II, and until he wins 10 games and takes that team to the playoffs, he's going to continue to be Brian Sipe. He was cited in Florida. He's cited everywhere. It's like Brian Sipe is showing up everywhere. I know he's on that team, but seriously, but two, he is losing some receivers. I think. Jarvis Landry's playing hurt. They said in the report that after the game he was in somewhat of a sling or a sleeve from his elbow up or elbow back down to his wrist. So
and LeBron after the game.
Right. And he told a reporter that he's gonna be all right and he's gonna be able to play the next game.
Okay.
The second half of the question is, listen, I like Coach Hugh. And when we watch Coach Hugh, he coaches for four quarters. Mm. When he made the statement about he wants to infuse himself into the offense a little bit, that lets you know right there that he has had nothing to do with any other play calling.
Right.
It's been all on Todd Haley.
Yep.
Todd Haley, to me, I take him as a snake. I don't think those guys really care for him in Pittsburgh. I think he wants his head coaching job. I think he alters the playbook a little bit. I think that Hugh kind of stepped back, and he was a Ty Rod guy
right
from the beginning.
Right.
Because when they came in OTAs and when they came into camp, he never said that this is going to be a competition. Ty Rod is his guy.
Right.
So I think the powers that be above him wanted Baker Mayfield in a little bit earlier.
Right.
And if not, it maybe starting from the beginning of the season.
Man.
And then, you know, but they told this guy, they told Tyrod once he comes in, you know, hey, you know what, you're gonna be the starter to see what you got. But that was on the notion that Hugh was gonna be calling the plays.
Right.
He'd be the offensive coordinator. But I know last year when the season ended, that was the main thing on their agenda, was getting the offensive coordinator and taking those duties away from Hugh.
Right.
Do I think Hugh should be fired? I don't think he should be fired. I think he should just leave. I think he should just get the hell out of there, because it's all about to come down on him in a minute anyway.
It is.
You know, yeah. You know, he's 3-35-1 and all this crap. I said, if you look at the talent, because they complain about the talent over the years, like, okay, now they saying this year we got the better team. We got the better talent. Okay, so then admit that this guy didn't have talent for 2 years.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, admit that he didn't have the talent. Now you finally got some talent. Now you want to hand the play calling duties over to somebody else, and then you're trying to make him the fall guy like he has anything to do with anything. Right now he's not running nothing. Because that game when they still had Josh Gordon and he came back from his stint and Haley inserted him in the starting lineup, Hugh didn't want him in the starting lineup.
Nope, he didn't.
He said no, he wanted to work him in. Mm-hmm. He wanted to work him in, so he's going to let this Callaway guy start, then bring him in. So they're all over Hugh for nothing. I think he should just get out of there, figure out a way to get a buyout on his contract or something,
right,
and leave, and go somewhere where somebody at least appreciates him at this point, because I still think he's a dynamite offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a head coach, but I do think he's an offensive coordinator. And hopefully get an opportunity to do that. But in Cleveland, it's not going to happen. They're about to shut the chapter on him in a minute.
I believe it. Let me roll back over to Doom for a quick second. Doom, are your Redskins the best team in the NFC East right now?
What our record says, I mean, we played, you know, close games, but we just got to stay consistent, that's all.
You guys are what, 4-2 right now?
Yeah.
4-2 right now.
Remember we lost to the Saints. I forgot who else we lost to.
Yeah. I still think Philly might be, if you look at quarterback talent, the rest of the team is terrible. But Philly, I think they do have the best quarterback in the division, and Carson Wentz. I think everybody else is a distant third from him. I think Dak's a distant third. Not even a distant second, a distant third. I think Eli is way, 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 way down there. And Alex Smith, where everybody keeps saying about him winning this, winning that, he's probably the best dink and dunker I haven't seen in the NFL. I ain't never seen a person dink and dunk more than Alex Smith. So
more than
Tom Brady?
Yeah, Tom Brady. Yeah.
Because I was about to tell him, Tom is a bad boy, man.
He dinking and dunking. That man that made James White a superstar. A superstar.
He done made Gordon. He making Gordon a superstar. He made
Gordon a superstar, too. Boy, them two, Doug, get on the same page.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Ooh.
Oh, boy. It's going to be something to see.
Now, I know it's going to be interesting to see how the Patriots handle stuff, because now you got Gronk hurt with the back. You got Sonny Michel out with the knee. There's really no backup past that. They don't trust James White to carry the ball.
Right,
like, and
what? Who else? Rex Burkhead. I think he's on IR.
He's on IR too. So they're gonna have to go. Yep. They're gonna have to go with that young work they got back there. So we'll see. We'll see what they do. Very quickly. Do you guys think the? I know you do, Doom. Do you guys think LeBron's first season with the Lakers would be a flop?
Go ahead, Doom.
No, I'm sorry. What you say?
Do you think LeBron's first season with the Lakers will be a flop?
Yeah.
I think so.
I think it's going to be just because of the incidents that happened the other day. That's hard to recover from, knowing that you wasn't behind your team.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
And those guys are going to get on the floor with him. And Rondo, like I said, he's one of those guys, Doom, that he don't care about LeBron like that. You know, he came down there for a paycheck. You know what I mean? An opportunity to start and an opportunity to play with one of the best players in the game. But he's not concerned with how LeBron feels about CP3. And I'm telling you, this guy is not going to play like, he's going to hold on to that, man, because I would. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, I'm a LeBron fan, but that, I'm not taking my friend and I'm going to walk him over to his bench. And then they over there, you know, I would have been like, man, just get on over there and then let me get my guys.
Just go and put on a Houston jersey.
Just go on over there and put on a Houston jersey. You want to be with Carmelo and that damn bum. Well, Carmelo's the bum.
Right.
CP3, I can respect him.
He can't even start over PJ Tucker and Eric Gordon.
Tell me about it, man. They got him coming off the bench, and he's looking over there like, I want to do this. No, you don't.
going back to the G League for a second, they're offering $125,000 to elite one-and-done prospects.
I don't have a problem with that, with the G League. My problem is with the WNBA one. Yes. Saying it's unfair.
I'm about to ask that. WNBA thinks it's unfair. I think there's a price salary difference of what, $10,000? I think
the whole thing is the WNBA is not drawing nothing.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I've been trying to advocate that, hey, they need to talk about it more, but nobody watches their games. I don't even know how many games they play, like 30 games.
Who, what, the WNBA?
Yeah,
they're about 35 games, and it's really, what, 2 months or something like that? 2.5 months at tops? 3?
Yeah.
And,
but how are you supposed to expect you being to play 2.5 months trying to pull Steph Curry in kind of money? You know?
Yeah. And really, to be honest with you, their revenue isn't all that. I think they had a stat on that. And it's like they ticket sales or whatever revenue they got coming in, the NBA kind of. They have to supplement some other stuff. So they actually taken away from the other 32 teams that's in the NBA to help take care of those girls. You know what I mean? Yep. And take care of the G League. You know what I'm saying?
The thing is they need to be drawing, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They need to be having some games because, like, it's kind of hard watching a WNBA game.
Yeah, if it ain't the playoffs, because most of them – you know, most of them girls, and if you look at the age on some of those girls that's in the WNBA, it's some old girls playing in that league, man. Yeah. I mean, they play for $25,000 a year. I mean, what the hell, you know? But yeah. Some older girls is playing, older ladies, you know, that's playing in that league. But there's no excitement.
Yeah.
You know, and they had a team here in Cleveland. It was the Cleveland Rockers or something like that when. This was like the mid-2000s, and they had that team. I mean, you go to a game, it was like
15 people there.
It's almost like they had, you know how they have a marching band on one side of the arena?
Yeah.
They were like a marching band. It was just like these few people in these sections. I'm like, man, is anybody else coming to the game? Oh, it's in halftime. You know, ain't nobody else coming there, you know. So you can sit anywhere. You can actually sit on the floor, and they probably wouldn't have noticed. But,
my goodness.
But the revenue that was generated, and that's why that team is no longer there, because they just couldn't keep up with they couldn't generate enough revenue.
Bouncing around a little bit here before we get out of here, reports are saying Le'Veon Bell will not report this week to the Steelers. Should the Steelers just be done with Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah.
Should this just be done?
Oh, yeah.
And it goes back to my whole thing about these dudes and money. The dude's balling. But don't he got like 2 years on his contract?
No. He's looking for an extension is what he's looking for.
And how big was his extension?
He's looking for that long-term extension. He's looking for an Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger type of extension. He's looking for something long-term to guarantee his income. The problem comes into play when you look at someone with A, you know, he's been suspended, what, twice? And you also look at the amount of carries that he has, both as a back and as a receiver. That's a lot of carries, man. That's a lot of carries. And then he can get nicked up and miss even more time, which is why he's not playing now. I just think, look, I know it's tough not to get something back for somebody. I know it's tough. I still think if you go back to that Jimmy Butler trade, we got trash. I've never been a Zach LaVine fan. And in the case of Pittsburgh, you got to get something back, man. If you get a second, third rounder for Le'Veon Bell, who wouldn't give you that? Who wouldn't give you that? There's a lot of running back needy teams back in the NFL that can need enough, that can use a running back of his caliber.
Yeah.
Philly being the main one. And I'm shocked Philly pulled out of that deal. They could have gave us some draft picks, truth be told.
Yeah.
So,
It might be because of the Steelers system for Le'Veon Bell.
Could be. That's a good point, too. That's a good point, too.
Because Pittsburgh needs an up and down north to south.
I think the only Steeler who really, really excelled after Pittsburgh, Emmanuel Sanders?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the only one, because Mike Wallace did next to nothing. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. This weekend, we got a lot of good NFL action coming into play, including a rematch of New Orleans and Minnesota. How do you guys see that game going down? Minnesota's playing pretty well.
Yeah, they're playing pretty good. Both of them playing okay. Drew Brees is playing pretty good. That should be a good game, actually.
It should be.
I don't see them. Yeah, it should be a real good game.
It should be. You know, man, Patrick Peterson came up in the news, Arizona Cardinal defensive back, talking about he wants to be traded. Who would be a good suitor for
the Raiders? This is a work in progress. People are thinking it's like all bad, it's falling apart, the wheels are falling off. No, this is great. This is what Gruden is doing. He is cleaning house. Gerion Conley, he's on the trading block. Joseph, he's on the trading block. They just got rid of Amari Cooper. We don't know what's going to happen with Martavis Bryant because it's still undetermined about his situation. Derek Carr, if he don't get it together, he'll soon be out of there. But we made some great moves. You got three. Right now, as we speak, we got five first-round draft picks in the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. So I know exactly what he's trying to do. Eventually, when we move to Vegas here in a couple years, I think this whole – we're going to see a better product. We're going to see a better product next year. But as far as this year, I think we're going to win like maybe one or two and then maybe three. And then, you know, it's going to kind of tank out a little bit, and it should, because we're just getting rid of too many pieces. But, you know, Patrick Peterson is a premier player. Mm-hmm. And they just fired – who did they fire? The offensive coordinator down there in Arizona?
They fired
the
offensive coordinator this week. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they fired the offensive coordinator. Now he wants out, so it's starting to look like things are falling apart down there. So as far as his position, I like the Raiders. And I'm going to say this. I like him in Cleveland.
But I think the main reason he wants to get out of that situation in Arizona is because of all the losing.
Oh yeah, because of the continuous losses and unstableness.
Yeah.
But we're at this point, as far as where his position, where do you think he would fit at?
Doom's Redskins would be a perfect one to go with Josh Norman in that secondary. I think my Saints would be good because we need a DB in that secondary because that secondary needs some work. Oh, my goodness. John Brown has torched us. John Brown has torched us yesterday. Torched us.
Because if you get a secondary, man, y'all be good because, you know, Drew Brees could put up the points.
I just don't know how we would pull it because we really don't have any first round picks in 2019. So I don't know how the Saints can pull it off, but I would love to see it. I think the Falcons would be another good spot that he could go to. So, you know, there's some spots out there that he'll fit. I think the Jets would be another one. But primarily, I like the Redskins. They need another corner outside of Josh Norman. I like the Saints. They need cover men, period. Right. Because our DBs are suspect. So we'll see where he ends up. I just think it's a shame because the person I feel so sorry for down there in Arizona is Larry Fitzgerald. I feel for him.
I think this is one of his last seasons.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Do you think he got another season in him, or do you think it's his last season in
Cardinal uniform?
Yeah, Cardinal uniform, yeah, because I think he still got, you know, if Brandon Marshall's still in the league, this guy can obviously be playing the league.
Yeah, I think he's got one or two more good years in him. I just don't know what he'll end
besides
up.
Besides getting a Super Bowl, what else has he got to prove?
Yeah, other than Super Bowl. Yeah, and he played in one. So. All right, let's go over these stories real quick. Alabama defeats Tennessee 58-21. Does anyone here see Alabama losing to anybody?
We'll see playoff time. But I got to run, man. My kid's crying.
Thank you, man.
I'll catch y'all next week.
All right,
okay.
Man. Thank you.
Don't see you.
Thank you, dude. Gene, do you see anybody beating Bama?
Nah, I don't see anybody beat them because
me neither.
I mean, they're just they're just too loaded at every position. You know what I mean? I mean, got two quarterbacks. You got two running backs. I mean, they're loaded. And you know, after seeing Ohio State, because between them and maybe this new look Notre Dame, you know, you was thinking maybe, you know, they'll be able to compete, but I just don't see nobody competing with them at all. I mean, they're totally loaded. Man. They're robots, like you said.
I think they have LSU on the schedule coming up tomorrow. Coming up this week. I'm trying to check that now.
But yeah.
I think they play at LSU this coming week. That's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, it will be because LSU is playing really a good brand of football right now. Joe Burrow is being really competitive down there. That was just a good situation for him. And because LSU already had a couple pieces there. Mm-hmm. And obviously it was a quarterback that they needed, and they actually got it. So it makes them a bona fide qualifier. I'm trying to see where Alabama – okay, here we go. I'm trying to see what they got left on it because they got LSU and because they already played Texas A&M, right?
I think they did, yeah.
Yeah, they beat Texas A&M. So, really, in their conference, in the SEC, there's really nothing else for them to do there. I think most of their, besides LSU, so I think most of their competition is going to come from outside.
Yeah.
You know, so, let's see. Let's look at the schedule here. We got Louisville, Mississippi. Yeah, you got Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Arkansas, Tennessee. You got LSU. That's the one we're talking about now. That's Saturday, November 3rd. Mm-hmm. You got Mississippi State, the Citadel, and Auburn. I mean. Those teams are horrible. Auburn's down, obviously. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they I think they do a clean sweep, to be honest with you.
I think so, too.
I don't think nobody's right. going to touch them.
Rest of the scores, we already talked about Purdue beat up number 2 Ohio State, 49-20. Number 3 Clemson defeat number 16 NC State, 41-7. Number 5 LSU defeats number 22 Mississippi State, 19-3. Number 6 Michigan defeats number 24 Michigan State, 21-7. I was a little shocked by that because I expected Michigan State to compete a little bit better than what they did, but they came up short.
Yeah, but that's always a tough one. That's always, you know, because that's right in their own backyard, so they know each other. And like I said, when you start getting in the week 6 and week 7 in that conference, teams' dynamics change. So teams that you don't think are not that good early on in the season, they start to tend to get a little bit better. And then the more you play, obviously, the more film we're going to have on guys.
Right.
And but that the Big Ten Conference is just – it's like that. It's one of those conferences that starts out kind of weird, but – and then those teams that aren't supposed to be winning big games, they tend to start winning big games inside the conference.
Number 9, Oklahoma defeat TCU 52-27. UCF, University of Central Florida, defeats East Carolina 37-10. Number 25, Washington State defeats number 12, Oregon 34-20. Sort of kind of taken aback by that, but it is what it is. Number 14, Kentucky defeats Vanderbilt 14-7. Number 15, Washington defeats Colorado 27-13. Penn State defeats Indiana 33-28. Iowa, number 19, Iowa defeats Maryland 23-0. Number 22, I didn't actually write this one down, but I know Temple defeat number 20 Cincinnati. Temple put up 24 on them. Number 21, South Florida defeats UConn 38-30. And number 23, Wisconsin defeats Illinois 49-20. Very quickly over in the NFL before we get into the NBA and get out of here. Broncos defeat the Cardinals 45-10. Don't let the Saints defeat the Ravens 24-23. These kickers are trash. How Tucker gonna 200 straight made extra points, and now you miss this. Trash. Well,
it's been league wide though. Seriously.
Yeah.
Been league wide. Everybody's been kicking. I don't know. Did they move the spot this year?
I don't think they did.
I don't think they did either. I mean, they're jacking it left. They can't hit the broad side of a barn.
Nope.
They're hitting it left. They're hitting it right. They're not dead center. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the Cleveland-Tampa Bay game.
Mm-hmm.
You look what happened in that game. Yep. He can't hit it from 40, but he can hit it from damn near 60.
Yeah. That makes no sense. That makes no sense, man. Chargers defeat the Titans 20-19. Patriots defeat the Bears 38-31. Lions defeat the Dolphins 32-21. Vikings defeat the Jets 37-17. Panthers defeat the Eagles 21-17. Buccaneers defeat the Browns 26-23. Texans over the Jaguars 20-7. Rams over the 49ers 39-10. Redskins defeat Cowboys 20-17. Chiefs defeat the Bengals 45-10. Look. They've been talking about all day who's better out of the Rams than the Chiefs. I got to go with the Rams because that Rams defense is hellacious.
Yeah, I like that Rams defense. And when it gets all the way, when they get him back, it's going to be really they're going to be really good. And, they have all the players they need for every position on defense. You know what I mean? They got a hell of a defensive line. They got linebackers. They got DBs. They got corners. Everything is good. And that's tough. I mean, it's tough. And I realized it when the first week when the Raiders played them. Man, you can't do nothing. Can't run. You can't throw.
Mm-mm.
You get a little here. They'll give you a little window here. But for the most part, they just hamper down on you the whole game.
Yep. And Monday Night Football, we had the Falcons defeat the Giants 23-20. Eli Manning 27-38 for 399 yards and touchdown. Tevin Coleman leads Atlanta in rushing 11 carries, 50 yards and a touchdown. Sterling Shepard leads the Giants in receiving 5 receptions for 167 yards. Woo! He had a good game in that loss. Couple of final NBA scores I want to pass along. Magic defeat the Celtics 93-90. Raptors defeat the Hornets 127-106. Are we sleeping on the Raptors?
Yep.
I think we're really sleeping on the Raptors. Kawhi.
Yeah, I didn't think that trade with Kawhi would be that much of an impact. Mm-hmm. But it's turning out to be. It's almost like that piece that they didn't have last year to play against LeBron and them.
Yep.
So they're still pretty much the same, minus one or two players and a coach, obviously. And with them at Kawhi, it definitely made them. You could tell they can finish games now.
Yep. I think we need to stop sleeping on those boys. Bucks defeat the Knicks 124-113. Timberwolves defeat the Pacers 101-91. And the Mavericks defeat my Bulls 115-109. Damn it, man. Really? We can't win a damn game. Who you got in the World Series, man? The Dodgers or the Red Sox?
You know what? Those are both storied programs. But I'm really Boston, outside of Cleveland. I really like Boston. You know, we got Boston's coach, but they still going to the pennants. Don't make no sense. But I like Boston in this one. I think Boston always does a really good job of getting good bats. They have solid pitching. I mean, they're there for a reason. You know what I mean? You know, and I really haven't watched over in the National League too much. But the American League I've watched, and like Boston got all the tools, man. LA, I don't know. You know, it's Magic Johnson, you know.
I know they got – I think Crenshaw is going to be the ace in game one.
Okay.
For the Dodgers.
So, are you talking about Kershaw?
Kershaw. So
yeah, he's going to be Clayton Kershaw. Yeah,
he's going to be the first pitcher up in the rotation for the Dodgers. I hope the Dodgers win that thing because I think the Red Sox won like the last 11 to 20 years. So
right.
Good Lord, man. Well,
pretty good at one point, yeah. You know. Dodgers stayed, you know, independent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping the Dodgers get this. We'll see. Boston is a hell of a team, though. But I got to give shout-outs to the Yankees because I thought the Yankees were maybe like a year or two away.
And yeah, they're still a little young. They're still a little bit young.
Yeah.
And yep.
To do what they did takes a lot of guts. Couple of the NBA scores real quick. Pacers go down to the Timberwolves. Let me see what else is going on here real quick. Ah, there we go. We got some other games still going. Trailblazers over the Wizards, 111-108. That's going down to the wire. There's 12.4 seconds left. 10 minutes and 8 seconds left in the fourth. The Warriors are handing up the Phoenix Suns, 107-81. Third quarter, Spurs and Lakers are tied, 96-96.
That 96 apiece.
Yep. Kuzma got 28 points. DeMar DeRozan making his case, 21 points and 5 rebounds with 9 assists for DeMar DeRozan on that Spurs team. So it looks like that trade benefit both teams for sure. So
with the Spurs,
yep,
yeah, they just had to, yeah, it definitely did. Oh, yeah, because they just had to. It's something new, it was change,
yep,
it was change for both of them. So I hope it works out for both of them.
All right, Gene, is there anything else you want to get out there before we leave for the night?
My biggest thing is this whole debacle that happened in Lakerland, and I hope they get that figured out. I hope those guys can, because I still think it's some questions that's going to be not maybe to the public, not to us. We might not be, but I definitely think they're looking at LeBron in a whole different light because of that. And I hope he sits back, which he probably doesn't care about it. You know, he's more worried about his family and his businesses and his assets. But, you know, LeBron is my guy.
Yeah.
But you just don't do that.
Right. All right, guys. Very quickly before we roll out, check out all the fine programs we have here on Rant and Radio. We come back to you tomorrow night. Tuesday at 7 p.m., we got the Shining Wizards followed by the Rant at 9 p.m. with AA and Tony C. Then we come back to you on Friday for Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Philly Phil and Choppy. And then after those guys, we'll hit you back on Monday, 11:15 p.m. Eastern, for this fine show, The Sports Report, right after Monday Night Raw. For Gene, for Doom, and myself, thank you guys for being with us tonight. I do appreciate it. And I will, I think I messed up. Here we go. I want to thank you guys for being with us. I appreciate it. Doom, thank you. Gene, thank you. And I'll see you guys next week. Everybody take care.
Yep, see you, bye.
Later, man. Thank you.
Yep, talk to you later.
All right, man.